Wanna be down with the king.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ, at John Granato, at Lance Zierlein, at R got no J. R got the letter R, got no letter J. All right, and that's how you can get a hold of us. And
he's like, a school on Saturday, no class.
Also, Russell used to say that back in the day.
Yeah, he did. That was back in the day, though.
You're like, I call you R because you got no J. Whoever the janitor was who told you that should have his own radio show.
Does he have his own radio show in L.A. right now? No? 713-780-3776 if you want to get into here. Tiger Woods, the big story yesterday. Tiger Woods going to play in the Masters. And while, you know, golf is at, you know, an afterthought for most of you. Art loves golf. I mean, he watches every second of it. But for most people, they're not like that.
Ask people if they like golf the year Tiger came back and won the Masters after not winning anything for like damn near 20 years.
Yeah, they loved
it. Was
it.
A big deal.
It was a
I was flying back and forth. That was 19, right? It had to be 19 because that's when I was flying back and forth to L.A. so much.
Yeah, he was defending in the pandemic, right? I think you're right. Yeah, it was 19. Yeah.
So it was 19 because I was flying back and forth to L.A. every single week. I was here doing the radio show in L.A., and then I was doing a lot of TV because Daniel Jeremiah stepped into Mike Mayock's role because Mayock went to the Raiders. Mayock didn't last as long as I felt like he lasted. But anyway, I remember I was in the I got there early because I wanted to go watch Tiger Woods, so I went into the United Club, whatever. I paid the $50, got in there. I literally paid $50 to go watch Tiger Woods. I mean, I didn't pay for the hummus. So I'm sitting in there and watching.
The hummus wasn't good?
It was fine. It's hummus. Hummus is pretty much the same in most places.
Yeah, well, I don't know. There's better hummus than others.
Yeah,
I
mean, but it's still very edible everywhere.
You put Greek olives in it.
Hummus is hummus. I mean, there's some differences. But so I'm in there in the United Club, which is not any fancy place. You can't get drinks in there.
You get drinks and you get food.
I'm in there to watch.
I'm going to tell you this. Here at IH, at George Bush, it's terrible compared to other cities.
Well, that's what I'm I mean, this is where I usually am using it. I get one pass a year to use. One for me, one for my wife. And then I have bought, when I needed to work on stuff, I've paid so I can get the Wi-Fi and all that stuff. Well, anyway, I paid so I could go watch Tiger. It was like people were gathered around the TV.
They have bars in airports that you could just go to and
yeah,
watch.
But I can't work. Crowded. I can't work. So anyway, but watching Tiger, I wanted to watch Tiger and get some work done. And sure enough, man, everyone had their seats. Like they pulled tables there. Everyone was gathered around. And after makes, people were clapping for Tiger Woods, just like it was a movie where you clap for people who can't hear you. And
well, that Progressive commercial told me that no one here that made the movie is here.
Finally, somebody made a commercial that told you they're not, the people that made the movie aren't here. So it was exciting, man. It's when Tiger Woods, I mean, we've seen it. Tiger started when we started on radio. That's when Tiger started.
97.
He won the Masters.
Yeah.
And so we got to do our show. Now, it's kind of funny because it feels like this long, great run for Tiger, but the reality is, it was about a 12-year run, I guess, for Tiger, and then it was lights out.
Yeah, when did the 9-iron to the back of the car happen?
Was it 09 or was it 10?
I think it was 9, so it was about a 12-year run.
About 12-year run. And then, you know, that 12 years, though, was just spectacular.
No, it was the greatest 12 years.
It was just spectacular because people who didn't care as much about golf were all of a sudden, suddenly, they were very invested in matchups that were coming up. Phil Mickelson mattered more. Vijay Singh mattered more. Anybody that was in the same atmosphere as Tiger Woods or had a chance to compete with him on a Sunday, it was a big deal. So, yeah, having him play is a big deal. Now, the problem is we probably I mean, Tiger said this. He'll probably never win an event again unless he goes to the seniors tour. And do you think Tiger will go to the seniors tour? I have a feeling he's not going to.
If it's too painful for him,
I don't think he has to play golf. A, obviously he doesn't need money. B, I don't think he needs the fame or the – I think he's going to want to hang out with his son.
Well, yeah, maybe watch Charlie play or whatever. Yeah, that could well be. I think he might play events. Yeah, he might play in the majors of those, maybe, just to mess around. You know, I mean,
I don't think Tiger wants to play anything that he doesn't compete. But I think Tiger needs to feel like he can win. In his heart, as a competitor, I think he has to believe that he can win. Because if he doesn't believe he can win something, I don't think he's playing just to play, just because he wants to get out there and show he can still do. I don't think he has to prove anything to himself. The only way Tiger plays events is if he thinks he can win. That's what I think is going to be the case.
Yeah, probably.
And this is exploratory this week.
No, I think he thinks he can win. He's playing. Everybody who's watched him has said, wow. Freddie Couples had nothing, but he said, everybody who was watching him on the range, he's not missing a shot. Y'all, he is really, really good. Do not doubt that Tiger Woods will be competitive in this Masters.
Tiger should be a massive long shot.
So yesterday, I wasn't on, and mine, I don't know. Tiger Woods, what do you think the over-under yesterday was for Tiger Woods' bogeys in the first round?
5.5?
That's crazy. It was, and it's down to 4.5 because everybody jumped all over it. That's a crazy number.
Why?
Because he's Tiger Woods.
When's he played golf last?
All I know is
we're worried about guys who don't play 1 week of baseball because they'll get rusty, but Tiger almost lost his leg and he's not rusty?
He's not going.
Well, you can't possibly hit a baseball if you take five days off.
Oh, wait a minute.
But you lose a leg and you're just back to hitting birdies?
We're talking about Josh Reddick versus Tiger Woods. I'm talking about Tiger freaking Woods.
Well,
he's different than everybody.
Nah, but
in the golf world, he's different.
That's great at a time, but Tiger's also now much older, and he almost lost.
Give me the under on 5.5. Give me the under.
Why don't you play him at 3,500?
You know what his under over was on the score? This doesn't make any. Well, I guess it does.
Yeah, because of birdies. Let me guess, 73.5.
74.5.
Okay.
74.5. And that's, you know what?
I'm going under. Well, so a double bogey is the same as a bogey. It doesn't matter. So I would probably rather take
a double bogey hurts a 74.5, that's for sure.
Instead of bogey, I would probably rather take, well, the Masters is longer than it used to be. I would say, well, they changed it years ago, but I think I'd take over 74.5.
You would? I'd take under.
The guy hasn't played. I respect the game.
I'm taking under on both. 57 is where he'll finish the tournament. 57th. Under over.
I don't think he'll make the cut.
See, I'm going cut. I'm going Tiger Woods is going to be on the leaderboard on Sunday on the first page.
This feels like Astros will all hit a ton of home runs the day before baseball starts.
Thank you. That's right.
You're just firing on a guy who hasn't played. And was severely,
I'm firing.
Severely crippled.
I'm going to take Tiger
wreck.
Woods, and you can have everybody else. Okay.
Okay.
In the history of golf,
that's fine.
Not just this Masters, but in the history of golf.
I'll take him. He's a plus 3,500 underdog.
Okay, give me that too.
Who would you rather?
Looking at the numbers right now for you guys, just to add on.
Yeah.
Tiger is 180 to miss the cut. He's plus 140 to make it.
So he's the favorite to miss.
Okay. Give me that. Throw 1,000 on it for me, RJ. Hurry up.
Yeah, he's good for it. His bank is getting things fixed in Germany.
Yeah.
He's got a German bank that's all screwed up. He's getting a wire from his...
I can wire you that
his
money.
His dad is a mogul, German mogul.
You're poor. So,
Tiger Woods' shot is so poor.
He's broke-ass swing.
Why is Daniel Berger playing with me?
See, there's so many people. If you haven't watched Inventing Anna, then you don't know what we're talking
about. By the way, you do know that Better Call Saul came out, right?
What?
Better Call Saul's out right now on Netflix. They just tried to sneak season 5.
Why did they sneak it by when I've been waiting for years?
I flipped on my Netflix like, what?
I've been waiting years for Better Call Saul.
I know.
And guess what I'm watching?
I picked it up just like
I'm watching 4 months ago, and Saul.
I picked it up 4 months ago, and I was like, oh, my God. Everyone told me this is a great show.
It's a great show.
So you think Tiger Woods has a better shot than Daniel Berger, or do you know a guy named Adam Scott or Tony Finau?
Yeah.
Or Paul Casey?
Yes, I know.
All
of
much
that.
Longer shots than
yes,
Tiger.
Yes, I know.
You think that's accurate?
Yeah, I do.
You think Tony Finau should be plus 5,000?
Tony's not playing well right now.
Well, what about Adam Scott?
Adam Scott is playing well, but he's a little bit older. He's got his green jacket.
Do you know a guy named Billy Horschel?
Yeah, Billy Horschel. Bubba Watson? Yes, people know.
How about Bubba Watson?
Yeah, he's only got a couple of Masters.
I mean, Bubba Watson's got a couple of Masters to his to his name, and Tiger Woods got in a car wreck that almost did Alex Smith his whole leg. And now Tiger Woods is plus 3,500 and Bubba Watson is plus 5,000.
I'm telling you.
Obviously, it's for a reason. Although Tiger probably should be 5 or 6,000, but the line makers can't do that because they'll have too much exposure.
Destroyed.
Your exposure will be too high.
And think this is too high if you want to know the truth. I read a story 2 days ago. Everybody's betting on the biggest bet is Tiger Woods. Those odds are way too high. You cannot put Tiger out there at 3,500. You just
Larry
can't.
Mize. How old is Larry Mize?
100.
He's plus 5,000. He should be plus 57,000.
Yeah, no.
What is plus 5?
You can't put a bigger...
Bernard Langer has the same odds as Bubba Watson?
Bernard Langer might make the cut. That's how good Bernard Langer is.
But still, he has the same odds. Bubba Watson should quit golf. You know, here's the guys who should quit golf. Bubba Watson, Eric Van Ruyen. Yeah, he should quit. Lee Westwood should quit. He's getting older, too.
Lee Westwood is up there on. You go look at Lee Westwood's Masters
plus
finishes.
Plus 5,000. Jason Kokrak, quit golf. Harold Varner, quit golf. Luke List, quit golf. Sergio, quit golf. Justin Rose, quit golf. They're all 5,000. They're the longest shots. Tiger mangled his leg in a shark accident. Got bit by a shark or something.
No.
And Tommy Fleetwood is a bigger underdog.
I have heard.
Isn't that the guy with the creepy hair?
Yeah, Tommy Fleetwood has long hair. And what do you mean creepy? He just got along. Is he say, British? Yeah.
I mean, just because you're trying to. Well, you did get yours tightened up a little bit. I see.
Yeah. Fleetwood is British. Yeah, he's Nick Fleetwood's nephew or whatever.
There's no way.
No, he's not.
Oh.
But here's the deal. What is wrong with you? Has Tiger Woods not done anything to convince you that he's different than everybody else?
No, he has been in his life. I just don't think after a first time out after a car wreck, like, this is a good time to show me. Yeah, there's a reason he's almost a 2-to-1 dog to even make a cut, man. Golf is hard.
Watch. Golf he's is making, hard. Not only
I
is he making
the sport.
Cut.
You have no respect for the sport.
Not only is he making the cut, I have utmost respect for Tiger. Not only is he making the cut, he's going to be on the first page of the leaderboard Sunday.
Who are the top? Wow. That's a lot to say for a guy who hasn't played for how many years has it been now?
Did he defend in 20? I think he did.
I feel like he did. Yeah.
I feel like he did too.
Has it been a year and a half?
Yeah, it's a year and a half. What's wrong with you? A year and a half?
It's a year and a half of not playing. And
oh,
he's
really?
Got a,
because
a surgically
Colin Kaepernick's taken 6 years
leg.
Off and look at him throw. Beautiful.
Who's going to win?
Huh?
Who's going to win the Masters? Who are your top five?
Well, top guys to win are Rahm,
I know
Scheffler.
Rahm. Yeah. Who do you think?
Justin Thomas. I think Hovland has got a good shot. And it's golf. You could put, they're 20 to 1. They're all 20 to 1. You could put.
John Rahm is 10 to 1.
Yeah, 10 to 1.
Justin Thomas and John Rahm are 10 to 1.
Yeah.
Cameron and Scottie Scheffler are 14 to 1. And
Cameron
your guy
Smith's
Hovland
playing well,
20,
but I'm not
going to.
He just won. I'm not, he just won the. At the TPC, and I'm not at Sawgrass. I'm not putting him on that.
What about Xander Schauffele?
Schauffele's good, man. Schauffele's really good. Schauffele actually finished second to Tiger in 19, so Schauffele's really good. But he's not playing great either right now. You got to be playing well. Of course, guys come out of nowhere.
Morikawa, any chance he?
Morikawa's really good.
Any chance that he repeats?
No.
I saw his Masters dinner, by the way.
Yeah, it wasn't Morikawa. It was Matsuyama.
Matsuyama. Yeah, Matsuyama.
Yeah, Morikawa.
Show respect and indifference to, and I don't just say whatever.
It's just one of those. Oh, just one of those names.
This is where I show respect.
Is that what you just did?
No, I just did the opposite. I said this is where I show respect for it. Where you would have said whatever, same thing.
It's not the same thing.
I did see the dinner, by the way. The dinner menu. Yeah,
it's food.
They show dinner menu. It's a traditional Japanese sushi.
I tweeted it out,
sashimi.
And I just wrote food.
What do you mean food?
Well, it wasn't.
A5 Wagyu.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
it wasn't a male golfer, and it wasn't a female golfer. It was food.
Oh, it was food. Now I see what you're saying. Yeah. They showed Tiger's, his from the first year he won and the second year he won. What his
Yeah, he had burgers and fries his first year.
Yeah.
And milkshakes. He was 19 years
second
old.
Second year, but he has accessible
or
food.
21 like years old, whatever he was.
He had, I think, he had like a steak and chicken fajitas. Like, it's not,
yeah.
It just makes it pretty accessible food.
Yeah. Well, he didn't have what Fuzzy Zeller told him to have.
No, poor Fuzzy. Can you believe that happened? To this day, it's 7, unbelievable.
714 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. The Astros, oh, they don't pay people? Well, we'll talk about that on the other side because they pay, all right? So stop already with all of your criticisms of Jim Crane because the Astros are coming up big. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here. What I want to talk about are my peeps over at HR&P, and Mike Holly is just spectacular. If you're looking for a great way for Mike and his crew to get you your payroll, I'm telling you, they are the best. We love what they do for us. It is, and if your payroll company is not doing what our payroll company is doing, then you really, really, really need to go with ours. And it's easy. They will come. Listen, it's going to be Robler or Plotkin or Chris Fisher or whoever it is. Is going to come to your business. They're going to sit down with you. They're going to check out all of the stuff that you do. They're going to customize a plan for you. Like if you have 1,000 employees, it's not the same as someone who has 50. It's much different. So they're going to customize. Now, other payroll companies, they're just like, well, this is what we charge and that's it. No, it's not cookie cutter. It's customized plan for you, perfect for you and your business. Same with the HR, same with the everything, the taxes. And listen, if your payroll company isn't taking care of you at this time of the year with the taxes, then you need to go with ours. They're experts in the Affordable Care Act, and that's kind of a big deal. So if you're looking for that perfection in your payroll and HR company, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 7:18 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So I'm looking at a picture. I just don't like sending out pictures like this. Kat Presley sent out a picture of...
Who is that?
Kat Presley is Ryan Presley's wife.
Oh, okay.
Kat Presley with the baby and Ryan. Remember, they had a baby last year. Was it during the playoffs?
Yeah, they had a playoff.
Or maybe it was even... It was during the season sometime because the kid looks pretty big. It looks pretty big. Big kid. It looks like he got his dad's head. So they're in a private jet. And Kat says, Stros through 2024, we love this team, city, and fan base. Getting to continue playing in our home state means the world to us. We are incredibly thankful for the opportunity. Let's go, Stros. You know what? They got money. Who cares? I mean, he just signed a $30 million extension. It's possibly $42 million.
Well, what do you mean
years.
They got money? What's
well,
going on here?
I don't know. I just sent him pictures out of a private jet. I don't know. I don't know.
Athletes do all the time now.
Yeah, I know. They do. I guess if you're poor, you would be upset with it, right?
How do you not have a jet?
How do you not have your own jet?
If you don't have your own jet,
you could just steal one. You could just steal one, which she did. So
she didn't steal it. She hustled it. She out-talked him.
Well, yeah.
She outworked him.
Well, she told him she was going to pay him, and she didn't. That's stealing.
Yeah, but there's an issue with the wire.
What? No.
I wish I could just say there's an issue with the wire overseas, or that I have a German. I mean, my name's Zierlein. I could get away maybe with something German. I didn't know that's a German accent, but okay. It doesn't feel like a German accent. But I wish I could just get stuff for free.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I don't want to fade being arrested.
Yeah. But what do you think? I mean, I know you can't be happy with this $30 million extension for Ryan Presley.
Well, I think Ryan Presley's I like Ryan Presley. I just don't think Ryan Presley is an ace closer, but the Astros have – last time they had an ace closer
was – You
always
complain about Ryan Pressly.
No, I like Ryan Pressly in a different role.
Oh.
I like him as a setup guy. I would rather have a really consistent closer. The Astros don't have consistent here's what other people – not all other people, but I tend to remember – When you have a 3-run lead and you win by one and you get a save, I don't count that. That's not a save to me. That means you almost blew it.
It is a save to you.
That's not a save. You didn't do your job.
But he did enough to win. To get.
So if your ERA is like an 18 for your performance, mm-hmm. that's not doing your job. Your job is to put out is to
no.
Shut
your
things
job
down.
Is to save the game.
I think Ryan's.
Who
I think
cares
Ryan's,
about that? It's you
no,
save the game.
I care about it because you don't. I think baseball people would care about it too because that's not a good. That's a bad outing. That's a minus outing. If you had to give a plus and minus for an outing, that's a minus outing. And so I don't like when closers get hit hard, when they give up runs, when there's a little bit of a cushion and they make it close, when they got warning track flyouts. I like guys who. You know, Brad Lidge was a lights-out closer. When he was in his best, he was unbelievable. He was a lights-out closer. And we know he didn't have a problem until Pujols, and then the next year he had trouble. But then he found his form again with the Phillies. I mean, Brad Lidge was really, really good when they won the World Series. I like Ryan Pressly. I think he's a good arm. I don't think he's been as sharp as he was ever since his injury and he came back. He's never been fully as sharp as when he was really just – You remember how dominant he was with that hook where people couldn't hit it at all when he was with the Astros as a setup man? Who was the closer then?
It was Dottel, him, and Billy.
No. I'm talking about Pressly. Oh. Who was the closer when Pressly was a setup? Ken Giles.
Yeah, Ken Giles.
I mean, Pressly was better than Ken Giles.
Yeah.
And then what year was it?
They got him in 18, right?
Yeah.
Right? He came here in 18.
Yeah, 18 is when he came. But I think Presley's nice. I don't think he's a natural closer. I think he's more of a really good setup man. But I don't think he's been as great as he was.
I don't know.
Well, I can't remember what the injury was, but he was out for a spell, and he did not come back the same.
Well, I think, listen, you got a closer. I like him. I'm fine with Ryan Pressly
it's
coming
fine.
In.
It's fine. It's nothing to – I'm not going to dwell on it. It's fine. You could be in much worse shape. I don't think Presley's a bad closer. I just don't think he's a plus closer. But I'm more worried about all the other arms along the way because that's where the Astros have been at times a little weak.
Listen, there are teams that are really, really struggling with this. The Astros ain't struggling with this. And to spend $30 million on a 2-year extension for him with a possible 3 years for 42, I am just fine with. I think it's a lot tougher than a lot of people think to get a high quality. This guy was an all-star last year.
How many appearances do you think he'll make?
He was in 64 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
Probably in that same neighborhood.
So what if a guy...
I mean, if they get 90...
What if a guy's in 160 games? Like 2.5 times that.
What if a guy is in 160?
Like a Carlos Correa type.
Oh. Yeah, but
should
guess
you
what?
Offer him?
Oh, well, that's apples
see
and oranges.
See what I'm just playing?
It's apples and oranges.
It is, but I'm just saying one guy got an offer, one guy didn't get an offer.
Well, one guy was actually not trying to break the world with his offer, and the other guy was. And the other guy wanted 10 years and $300 million.
That's, well, but the other guy never was going to get that, so... That was never really the offer. 10 years, 300 didn't have to be the offer.
Well, no, that's what Carlos. No, yes, it did because he turned down 275 from
the
Tigers.
It needed to be. That was probably a mistake, except you're not playing Detroit. It probably needed to be a 2-year deal at 66. He'd probably be here. Astros could have played hardball. Oh, you want Daniela to be happy? Then you need to take 33. He could probably be here. But
he could have. Yeah, no, for 233, he probably could have been here.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they didn't. They didn't want to do that. So here's the deal: is immediately after this is announced, and the Astros put it out there, they're hey, sign Tucker, sign Alvarez, sign.
I'm kind of in that camp now too. When you look at look at Freddie Freeman. The longer you wait on good players, it's an inevitability that you're costing yourself money. It really is. It's one thing to say, okay, we're not sure about the knee health of of Yordan Alvarez, or we want to see Yordan do it one more year, whatever. I get that. And you don't want to have to give – when club control is the only thing you have to stabilize a roster, you don't want to just give that away. It's not smart to give it away. But sometimes it is smart if you can extend 2 to 3 years on the contract and you're willing to pay a little bit earlier because you're going to pay a lot less later. So I do think Bregman now – you know, you want Bregman to play better this year. But I am a fan of maybe doing deals early. I am a fan of that. I don't think you do it after 1 year or 2 years.
So,
you need to wait.
So I can certainly see the why not to do it. Listen, you, especially really, really good players, they're going to cost you. They're going to cost you big time.
Yeah.
So when I can get them at a bargain at $700,000, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Now, it's going to cost me an arbitration. It's going to, but not everybody. Listen, let me ask you this. Given Alex Bregman, just a couple of years into his career, $100 million contract, has that paid off for you?
No.
No. No.
Up to this point, well, there's some recency bias here. I need to go back and really study everything, but it doesn't feel like it.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it, and yet it probably still was a smart move.
And yet, everybody still thinks that Alex Bregman, he's up there with whoever they think is the best player on the Astros, and it's not deserved.
How did you like 19?
It's not
Bregman.
Deserved right now.
How did you like 19 Bregman when he was in the postseason hitting home runs and carrying the bats with him? And
until, I mean,
Bregman was pretty good. The pandemic has screwed some things up. I think our perceptions, you know, that was a weird year when LA won a fake championship. The Dodgers, RJ's Dodgers won a fake championship in the pandemic year. Yep. And then the Lakers won a fake championship
in
the pandemic year. It was cute. It was a cute championship and
well,
all that.
It's a LA, it's a pandemic championship. Yeah. It doesn't count.
It's an asterisk. We put two asterisks next to those.
Right.
Just to shortened season and also pandemic.
Look at Bellinger. I mean, when people are actually in the stadium, he can't hit worth even in a spring training.
Put a third
stadium.
Asterisk on it.
Yeah.
Sorry, RJ. All of your championships just have asterisks.
Hey, how's your Laker team doing? We'll talk about that on the other side, RJ. How's that? Okay.
By the way, has there ever been a team that's been worse, who's gotten more everyday stories about them? Like, Russell Westbrook gets a story every day. LeBron gets a story every day. They're not even in the play. Like, are they? They're not even in playoffs.
No, they're not
even in play-ins.
They've been eliminated.
They're done.
Eliminated.
They're not even in a play-ins.
Why is Orlando not? I don't hear one story about Orlando, the Magic. But I hear all these Lakers stories. They're the same team. They're the same team.
Yeah, well, there's a little more star power on the
Lakers. Well, what? No.
LeBron
is
on the team.
They suck. They're not even in the play-in.
This generation's Jordan.
There are 20 teams in the NBA.
When we come back also, does this season hurt? I'll do a total sport. I'll do a total first take question.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be Molly Karam. Okay, guys. Does this year
hurt
LeBron's legacy? We will talk about that when we come back. Stephen A., Magic Johnson, or Tim Tebow, or whoever's going to yell at Steven, and then Steven will yell at them. Coming up next, does this hurt his legacy? Because that is like a question they would ask.
But you know what? It's kinetic. That's why.
Oh, QC kinetics. Let me tell you. So for those of you who are suffering with pain, and here's what I mean by that. It could be knee pain. Like, my wife has bone-on-bone knee issues right now, and I am hurting for her because she is going to have to run the Boston Marathon with this. And now there is talk about what we're going to do about the Berlin Marathon. Well, I know exactly what we're going to do. We're going to go to QC Kinetics because this is really the spot for anyone and everyone who has joint pain and who's tired of living with the knee pain, the joint pain. It's chronic. There are new treatments that are available, and I'm not talking about surgery or steroids. These are regenerative treatments from the medical professionals at QC Kinetics. QC Kinetics is the leader in exciting biological therapies, and this is different. They help restore and repair damaged tissue in your joints with lasting results. If you got pain in your knees, shoulders, hips, or back, joint pain that's not going away, you don't need to just automatically default to surgery or steroid shots. Make sure that you check out the professionals. They have astonishing patient satisfaction at QC Kinetics, and they will actually help your body restore and repair itself with no downtime, no drugs, no surgery. If it sounds too good to be true, it's not. do some research, check up on it, or more importantly, just set up your free consultation. It's a phone call away at 713-913-5285. That's 713-913-5285. You really need to learn more about the biological therapies that are changing the way that we think about dealing with joint pain. It's exciting stuff, and you can be part of it right here in the Houston area. 713-913-5285, QC Kinetics.
ESPN 97.5.
To the Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's hear from Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, last week, was it last week? He said, if only we were healthy.
Yeah, it was actually on Sunday, I think.
Sunday.
It was Sunday, he said, and Monday, he goes, man, I just think what could have been if only, you know, I was healthy, LeBron was healthy, Kendrick Nunn was healthy. I'm like, well, yeah, I could see you saying that about Kendrick Nunn and LeBron, but not, well, here's what he should have said. If only I was healthy ever.
Oh, well.
Because you can't just say this year. Like, yeah, I don't know when last time he saw 70 games. So you have to say, if only I were healthy ever and we didn't have Russell Westbrook.
Well, why didn't he say that part? That's not what he said. This is what he said.
This was a season that we just didn't get it done. I mean, we had the tools. Some things was out of our control. Some things that we could control. Some things we couldn't. And it's nothing else more than we didn't get it done. I mean, you can't make no excuses about it. We just didn't get it done.
It'd be nice if you were actually there once in a while. Then you could get stuff done. Don't you have to be there to actually like help win a team win? I think you have to be there sometimes. And Anthony Davis hasn't been. LeBron, you know, for all of that, I mean, he was an MVP candidate at one point this season. It cannot be more disappointing. Do you still have that Magic Johnson from yesterday? We never played it yesterday. But if you want to talk about, Lance, you want to talk about pissed off, how pissed off you would be if you were a Laker fan. This would, and RJ, you're a Laker fan, so I would imagine, if I'm a Laker fan and I'm hearing this quote, he's on with Greeny. Magic Johnson is, who is part of the organization. He's big part of the organization. I don't know what his exact title is, but.
I'm shocked that this didn't get more run.
Yeah.
I'm shocked that this didn't get more run. You know, this should be a major, major story. And it's also a major, major reminder that people who are not GM should not be GM.
Should not be. I mean, Michael is a great example.
Yep.
He wanted Walter Davis and all his North Carolina buddies and Crum's crowd. And that's why he made fun of Jerry Krause. And Jerry Krause actually told Michael Jordan, no, we're going to do it. We're going to go about it this way. And Michael Jordan was pissed, and yet Michael Jordan got 6 rings because Jerry Krause made decisions and not Michael Jordan.
That's true.
And here is Magic Johnson talking about LeBron making decisions.
Because DeRozan wanted to play for the Lakers, and when I got the call from his agent, I called the Lakers, said, hey, he wants to come home, and DeRozan could have been a Laker instead of a Bull. We could have made that deal, but when Russell and LeBron and them start talking, that's when they nixed that deal and went with Westbrook, and he became a Laker instead of DeRozan. And I think with DeRozan, and then you had a chance to keep the role players, Caruso, KCP, all those guys who are our best defenders, mm-hmm. See, they left. And that's why we were a bad defensive team. But if you sign DeRozan, you only trade Kuzma for Buddy Hield, we would be playing in the Western Conference Championship this year. With those two guys,
you know. Okay, so RJ, what do you think about his comments? Some people pointed out, some Laker fans pointed out, Magic was taking liberties with some of the trades and stuff like that. That it might have been more difficult to swing. But in general, what do you think about that?
I think at the time, I want to say if I could look at it from LeBron's standpoint, I think LeBron was trying to say he was worried about that team in New York and not the Knicks, but he was worried about Brooklyn. So he's saying firepower for firepower. We'll have three superstars to your three superstars instead of thinking about, okay, let's get DeRozan, let's get Buddy Hield. Now we have role players to where I can sit out maybe 15, 20 games if I want to, which I don't agree with, but if I want to, and we can be okay. I think he thought Russell Westbrook was going to be that guy. Oh, I can sit out, and Westbrook will have a triple-double, and we'll still keep our head above water. But I don't think LeBron really thought about the Bulls and how they would look as, you know, as presently constructed now with DeRozan. I don't think he looked at the Bucks.
Well, no, he's not. That's the problem, RJ. He's not a GM. If he would watch Russell Westbrook as opposed to just Russell Westbrook, the star, and thinking about his triple-doubles, Russell Westbrook has been declining steadily for years
now.
Well,
the problem is he doesn't fit. Yeah, well, that's the tricky part is Russell Westbrook is a guy who can go get points on his own, right? He can create for himself. And I know LeBron is probably thinking when I'm out or if I'm out, he can go – this is a guy who can go get baskets on his own. And that's true. But – the reality is he is having no impact on winning for almost anybody for a while now, but he still puts up incredible numbers. Like if you only box score scout him, you think Russell Westbrook is this incredible player. And Russell is an explosive athlete, but he's not a highly skilled basketball player from a standpoint of totality, right? He is a dreadful shooter. And in this day and age, used to be able to be a dreadful shooter and it was okay. It didn't hurt you, but there's so much study on efficiency and the analytics of efficiency and shooting now, and the league, frankly, has just gotten way better. Like one of the things that's not played up enough is how much better the general basketball player is as a free throw shooter. They just generally shoot better free throws for the most part. They're better shooters from the perimeter. They're better shooters now than they've ever been in the history of the sport. But Russell is like bad for 1992 shooter, where you had more specialty shooters, right? Russell Westbrook is historically bad as a shooter. So it really, really pops now in an era where three is greater than two and you really want to make the most of your possessions. He's a high turnover guy who is a bad shooter. And he takes shots away from other people. He takes possessions away from your team and away from other teammates who are more efficient. It's bad all the way around. But LeBron, you're right. He just went with this, I know what I know, and this guy's a star, and he's explosive, and he can get baskets. But LeBron also only knows the way of superstars. He did this plus three superstars in Miami, right? Yeah. Then he went with Kyrie and Kevin Love. He had, I don't know about superstars, but three stars.
Yeah.
Two of them superstars, really. And that's the way he knows how to build it. The reality is the Bulls are built as a team. And the Bulls have a unit right now. The Suns have a unit. Milwaukee has a unit. It's not that they're built with just a bunch of superstars. You know, there is a methodology where you have a superstar with good pieces around them.
Yeah,
the right pieces.
They've totally forgotten because it worked in Miami.
Yeah.
And it worked in Cleveland. That you've got to have peripheral players. You got to have guys who can, and they had those guys.
Fit a role.
And Magic said they had to get rid of them. They have no role players whatsoever. You just fill in. Carmelo Anthony, another star. Great.
This is what I don't understand. How could LeBron be so basketball dumb? And I just don't believe this to be. I'm not going to say it's not true, but LeBron is not stupid. He plays in games. How could anyone not see what DeMar DeRozan brings to the table and say, you know what? This is a better complimentary piece. Is it a personality thing where LeBron gets along
with
him?
Did LeBron play with him on the 2016 Olympic team?
Well, I think
no.
LeBron wants guys so, just that he is comfortable
yeah,
with. And that's,
he
but
knows
that's
Russell.
But that's the Jordan mistake.
That's right.
And LeBron's making, this is why you don't, this is why you got to put teams together and not dudes together.
Yeah.
We're like, I like that guy. That's why James wanted them to get Russell Westbrook. And then Russell's like, then James said, oh, my God, I don't want to play with Russell. And Russell's like, oh, my God, I don't want to play with James.
All right, question for you, both of you. Who will have a better record next year, the Rockets or the Lakers?
Who has a better record, Rockets
or Lakers?
Who will
have a better record next year?
I'm going to say Lakers.
I'm going to say,
I think the Lakers would be the favorite.
I'm going to say, what I'm watching right now, another 30-point performance.
Another loss.
And that's all right. They're going to fill in some guys now.
But LeBron
still
is
still... one more year of John Wall's
LeBron's
contract.
LeBron's still back. Like, this is the only year that they've been an atrocity.
LeBron is done. He's done.
No, but the numbers don't... But he's not done as a player.
He's going to be another year older. He's going to miss more games. Anthony Davis is going to miss more games. They still got Russell Westbrook at a $47 million clip. The Rockets will be better than the Lakers.
They will move on from Russell. I don't think Russell Westbrook will be on the court for them next year. I think they will trade for John Wall. The Rockets will release or do whatever they need to with Russell Westbrook. Now, I don't think John Wall is any kind of an answer, but I think subtracting Russell is a big part of trying to win. And I think Anthony Davis is going to be surprisingly healthy next year. Because at some point, he's got to start looking at my whole legacy right now that I'm in the process of building is really nothing right now. Like, what have I really done? Now, I know they won the pandemic championship, but what has Anthony Davis, he sat out basically half the year in New Orleans, and other than a pandemic year, Anthony Davis is not staying healthy. Like, he's not, if you had to say who are the 10 best players in the NBA, Anthony Davis does not pop up.
Well, he can't, but he would if he actually played games.
Yeah, but he never plays. No, he never plays. He never plays enough to be in that mix.
Nope. Texans bringing somebody in. This will be interesting. We'll talk about it on the other side.
Colin Kaepernick?
See what you... It's not Colin Kaepernick.
Jack would be a Colin Kaepernick guy.
See, he's not a Colin Kaepernick guy. And there is something else that we have to talk about on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I want to talk about the Morley Law Firm. Morley. MorleyLaw.com. Morley. These guys are really, really good. Met with them last week, and I mean, you want to talk about guys who are classy, that are going to take care of business, that are really dedicated. It's not like me. I mean, I couldn't wait to get on the golf course, but these guys are actually working all day. They're going to make sure that whatever problem that you have, they're going to give it the attention that it deserves. Whether or not you have a criminal, listen, sometimes stuff happens. You get a DUI, a DWI, you get, you did something wrong, whatever it was that you did wrong. Criminal defense, they're here for you. If you have a personal injury, they're here for you. Auto accident, an 18-wheeler accident, wrongful death. If you've got a claim with an insurance company and they're not coming through, they've got medical malpractice that they can take care of. These guys do it all. How about immigration problems? Say, habla español. These guys are here for you. If you know somebody that's having a real immigration issue, be it Hispanic or some from European country, whatever the problem is that you're having with immigration, my friends, they're here for you at the Morley Law Firm. MorleyLaw.com. That is MorleyLaw.com. MorleyLaw.com. Or you can give them a call, 713-839-9955. 713-839-9955.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. If you'd like to get in here, 713-780-3776. Texans bringing in Kayvon Thibodeau.
Yeah.
What do you think?
And Ikem Ekwonu in as well. Actually, they haven't had Ikem in, I don't think.
Is an indication they might take Ikem Ekwonu.
I think you do it. Yeah, you got to do it. You got to know everything you can about this guy. I mean, he may be a guy that you want to draft. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with it.
So, what you know about him, though?
I think the problem is, here's exactly what I know on Kayvon Thibodeau. He is an explosive athlete. He's, I think, a plus run defender. Let me tell you what you've got here. He's not as fluid an athlete. I don't think he doesn't have as much talent coming out as or he's it, I shouldn't say as much now. He didn't have the total package that that Jadeveon Clowney had. Jadeveon Clowney was just a special athlete. Jadeveon was just not as skilled a rusher, and you'd think, okay, well, he will develop skill. He had a great inside move, but he wasn't a great outside rusher. He wasn't well rounded as a rusher. And you just think, okay, well, he's gonna, you know, he'll develop that in time. Well, he hasn't put the work into it. So he's never developed into the type of player that got a big second contract. He's just been a vagabond now going from team to team as a good player. With Kayvon Thibodeau, I don't think he's as talented coming out as Jadeveon Clowney was, but he's a good run defender. I think he has the same qualities that could lead him to become a much better pass rusher. I had a scout tell me he's going to work harder than Jadeveon Clowney. He specifically said that. He goes, I think he's going to be a better worker than Clowney. What I do know is he's a player that has been coddled a little bit at Oregon. This is what I was told from people who are their job is to go in and get information from Oregon. He said he's been coddled. He was enticed to come to Oregon, and they have – same thing with Penei Sewell. They don't necessarily make him do certain things like he's – there. And this goes on at some different schools with different players. There's a little bit of an enabling that has gone on there. So he is a hard worker in the weight room. He cares a lot about his brand. He wants to be the next Von Miller, and he started to say these things publicly as well. So I knew this before. This is now something he's saying publicly. He wants to be Von Miller. That doesn't mean he's not going to be a good player. But the concern is he willing to put, like, is he have the focus to be the next? I said this over the weekend on Brad Hopkins' show. To be the next Von Miller, you got to be the next Von Miller. So before you worry about being Von Miller, you got to put what it takes to get there and to get the sacks and to be an all-pro. And that is going to require becoming a much more skilled pass rusher and really just putting in that time. The physical stuff, I have no doubt, he has all the physical tools to do that. Is he willing to put that work in, and does he care about team over self? Because that's what you want, because the Texans want to build that culture. So if you want to build that culture, you got to get those guys in the building. So I think those are questions you have to ask. He has been a little bit enabled by some of the people at Oregon, from what I've been told. And so I think, you know, you need to check up on that. You need to check up on that with Trayvon Walker, with Aiden Hutchinson, with really Evan Neal, with anybody that you're going to draft at number three. This is a lot more money, and it's a lot more important, a top five pick, because these are guys that you need to hit home runs with if you get a chance to. What you don't want to do is bust on the top five
pick. Oh, good.
And you don't want to miss on the person. So what GMs will always tell you is you can miss on your evaluation of the player, but you never want to miss on your evaluation of the person, because you didn't do your job. If you got a guy that's not the right person in the building, and a guy who doesn't love football and have what's called high football character, which is a willingness, like David Carr did not have high football character.
No.
Jadeveon Clowney, not high football.
I think that's going to be really important to this organization.
Yes, but should be to every organization. But Nick Caserio from the Patriots, that's one thing that they did value, and that's one thing I get excited about, is that they value high football character guys. Yeah. You got to love football.
Now, that said, the Patriots have not drafted well.
No, they have missed on a lot of mid-round, especially guys. But that's, I just think a lot of that, I don't know how much of that is Nick and how much of that is Bill. Now, I've been told that Nick was heavily involved in the draft.
Yeah.
Especially at the beginning. Which the beginning was actually much, much better. Supposedly Bill's taken it over a lot more over the last 10 years.
Well, that's a problem.
But that speaks positively of Nick Caserio.
Let me ask you this. I saw a mock draft that had George Karlaftis as the 13th pick.
I'd be okay.
Is that potentially a problem?
What do you mean?
In an organization that has there are some racial overtones in it, picking George Karlaftis thinking that he's possibly another JJ, which was a big boom for the organization to have JJ Watt as the face of the franchise, MVP, three-time MVP and all that. But are you somewhat grasping at straws there, trying to to redo. Is George Karlaftis worthy of the 13th pick?
Personally, I would never introduce race into this because I don't think it has anything to do with anything. I mean, the Texans thing, I know people like to go back to the – I'm just going to say this one time again. The Texans have been the most progressive in terms of front office African-American people behind the scenes.
Listen, I've been saying this for years.
No, I know.
That Bob McNair thing sucks. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, so
but
I mean,
still, it's the look.
I get it.
It's the Easter Bee.
No, there is no... No. You're drafting football players. You are not going to consider their race. If you're drafting players based on their race, then you have... That's racist thinking and bigoted thinking. There's no way they're going to draft. You can't say, well, we have to eliminate all the white guys off our board. I mean, what... Just sell the team and move on to somebody else who cares about football. I don't think that's any kind of an issue. My issue really would be that he's not, you know, I personally think there is a chance he could get drafted at 13. He's a tough guy. He's very strong. He's a power rusher. He is probably not going to be, he might be one or two times a double-digit sack guy. He's a better pass rusher than run defender. I don't think he tested well, but I don't think he's a twitchy run defender. He doesn't have the same range to the edge, but he will physically beat some guys up because he's really tough and really strong. I don't have a problem with Karlaftis. I think he's a solid guy. What I think about Karlaftis is he's a single. That's my whole thing is Jermaine Johnson to me at the same spot versus Karlaftis, it's a no-brainer to me. You draft Jermaine Johnson out of Florida State. He's first of all, he's black. No, I'm kidding. I'm not doing a race. But Jermaine Johnson has higher upside as a rusher, and frankly, is a better run defender than George Karlaftis. But Karlaftis is big, physical, strong. He's not J.J. Watt. But I will say, before this year, I thought there was some chance he could have some J.J. elements to him. When I watched him on tape the year before, I thought he can get some quick wins like J.J. Watt does. J.J. Watt wasn't J.J. Watt coming out of Wisconsin. J.J. was the 11th pick. J.J. Watt was a very good player, but he was not the J.J. Watt we ended up seeing. He wasn't defensive player of the year three times when he came out of Wisconsin. That's not who J.J. was. J.J. developed into that kind of player. So maybe George Karlaftis can develop into that kind of player too. He's Greek, which I thought would be good for you. Like I thought
I like
you get some representation where it's you and Jimmy and George. Jimmy G.
Yeah.
Is he Greek?
No. Garoppolo? Yeah, he's Italian.
He feels like Italian Greek, like you.
No, he's not Italian.
I mean,
look at
the eyebrows. He's got kind of a. He's Italian Greek. He feels Italian Greek.
What is wrong with you?
If I had to guess, he's Italian Greek.
What is wrong with you, Italian Greek?
I'm going to put him on Greek.
There's only one Italian Greek.
I know he's got an Italian mom. We see that on the sandwich commercials. Oh yeah,
that's his grandma.
And somewhere in there, he's got some Greek.
Yeah, and she's like,
tell.
Good thing he's handsome.
Good thing my skin son is handsome. Mrs. Garoppolo.
Great. 757 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. 713-7803. We're going to hear from, look, we got Lazy J. He wants to talk about his Lakers. I'm watching a video.
Is he a Laker guy?
I got to send it to you, RJ. It's just all of the bloopers from the Lakers this season. What a disgusting season it is. I hate that you're suffering like this, but yeah, guess what? Guess what you get. 758 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.